And I bet we can shut down his communication system.
We could. Yeah. Prayer.
Yeah.
Messes him up.
We've got all kinds of authority.
Yeah. So the devil's number one trick is to...
Yeah.
The devil's number one trick is to talk you into something and then blame you for it.
Right.
So, the best thing to do is not to fall for his trick. But the second best thing to do is if you do fall for his trick, you immediately know that God forgave you and that your sin was covered, and so not to worry about it. Because the devil likes to slow you down by guilt tripping you and beating you up and saying, you know, look what you did. And then you're not listening to God. You're trying to, in your own flesh, work out your sin and get rid of it, which you can't because Jesus already took care of it. It's already covered. Past, present, future, sins are already covered. So,
I think we were talking. I love that verse that says, "Agree with your adversary while he's in
yes.
the way."
Yeah.
God wants that back. He lets
yeah.
that happen.
Yeah.
So that you go to faith.
Right.
And so he's pointing out your flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot my flesh died on the cross. And he's already walking the other way. You know, as soon as we start talking to Jesus.
Yeah.
So, I love that.
Yeah. More and more, God has been showing me that I've talked about this in the past, but how we see or know words and they're not correct. I guess I kept sharing this with people this week, and nobody was as fascinated with me as that I was. I thought this was fascinating. So a guy posted a little video, and he said. And he said, the word unicorn is in the Bible 8 times. I thought, well, that's interesting. But there's no, like, our definition of unicorn is a horse with a horn on it. You know, it's white flowing hair and it runs around. And it's a unicorn. And so evolutionists will say, well, see, here's proof that the Bible is a lie. There are no unicorns, there never have been, there never will be. Which is funny, because they make up animals all the time, and they go, see, look. So anyway. But, so, the guy said, so what you got to do is you got to go back. Okay, so you go back to the Webster's 1828 dictionary. So that was written almost 200 years ago, I guess. So that's an old dictionary. And you go and see what its definition is of unicorn. Because the King James was written 400 years ago. So the 1828 was written 200 years ago. And what was the definition of a unicorn? So if you look under unicorn, it says rhinoceros. And if you look under rhinoceros, it says unicorn. And there's actually a bicorn. I did not know that. So a bicorn, there's the Asian rhinoceros has one horn, and the African rhinoceros has two horns. So there's a unicorn and a bicorn. So when the Bible is talking about a unicorn, it's talking about a rhinoceros. But if you take a modern definition of it, you'd go, yeah, there's no unicorns. And that's a lie. There's no such thing as a unicorn. It's a mythical creature. So you have to keep going back. What's the beginning? What's the truth? Because we create new words all the time, and we change the definition of words. My favorite one I always say is I always want to make a T-shirt that says, "Gay means happy and queer means weird." Because I'm taking those words back. You can't have our words.
That's awesome.
So,
praise the Lord.
My wife won't let me make that T-shirt. She said, "I need somebody to provide for me. If you're dead, you can't provide for me." That's it. Hallelujah. It's ours to be. Hallelujah. Right, exactly. Yeah, actually, I have a T-shirt for that, too. I have a T-shirt that's got a rainbow on it. It says, "This is a promise, not a persuasion." Yeah. This is a promise, not a persuasion.
I love it.
Yeah. Right now the world is falling apart because we're all listening to the same media. That's why you have to be careful. People are like, well, what's going on? I mean, aren't you nervous or whatever? I'm like, no, I'm listening to God. If God says do something, I'm going to do something. I'm not going to just jump on the bandwagon. And I mean, it's good. We need to pray for Israel. It's horrible. They're under attack. But I don't understand who's attacking them or what's attacking them. And people say, well, this is it. It's obvious. I'm like, I don't know that it's obvious. I said, man is very deceptive. So I have to listen to God and get an answer from God. I can pray for the Israelis, and I can even pray for the Palestinians. Why? Because they're both created by God, and God loves them all. Just because, I mean, actually, technically, they're both deceived. You know, one is still living under the old covenant, and the other one is living under their own deal. You know? So we need to pray for them both, that they both come to God. That's what's important. People are, you know, and everything that's going on is horrific. But, I mean, it's been going on for 6,000 years. I mean, if you read the Bible, all sorts of horrific things were happening. I mean, you just can't even... Anyway, so emotionally we want to, you know, so the word is don't live by emotions, live by what proceeds out of the mouth of God. Because emotionally we would go, this is evil and we need to do something about it. You go, yeah, but before you do something about it, you ask God, God, what am I to do? You know, and I just keep hearing pray. So, I mean, it's hard. Because you want justice. In this world, we want justice. And the thing is like you see people and they do evil, and you're like, man, that guy, God, if I were God, that guy would get it. You know, I would take that guy out. We're not, but it's a good thing we're not God, because God sees the long-term plan. He's wise, we're not. We have no idea what God has for that person. Maybe that person, you know, if you were to take them out in 10 years from now, they would receive Christ. Yep. I want all the baddest of the bads to receive Christ, because that's always fun to me when a bad guy turns to Jesus and it's like the devil lost. And it's like, oh, look, devil, there was one of your big guys and you lost him. There was one of your bishop or your rook and you lost him. You don't have that piece on your board anymore. He's on our side. I love that. So you should always pray for your enemies. That they find Jesus. It's hard because you're like, well, God, what should I pray? Should I pray that they fall down and die? Or, you know, should I pray? You know, I don't want to pray that they're blessed because they're doing wrong, you know. And then you go, oh, God, how do you want me to pray for this guy? Because that's a hard one. That's a tough one. That's not normal. Anyway, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's see what God said to me this week. Get into my notes. Here's some lyrics to a song I'm starting. They're here for your mind. They want to steal your soul. It's all about power. It's all about control. That's silly. So, but it's true. That's what the devil does. He wants to get into your mind because he's interested in your soul. He's interested in you not finding Jesus. So he gets into your mind to deceive you. And that's why, as I said, you always have to go back to the truth. You always have to find out that a unicorn is not a horse with a horn. You have to find out that it's a rhinoceros, because you'll doubt. You go, wow, why is the word unicorn in the Bible 8 times and yet unicorns aren't real? You have to find out the truth, because the devil will take things to deceive you, to put doubt. Oh, and doubt is what, you know, will kill you. It was funny. What was I thinking the other day? Greed. I was thinking, you know, people always talk about all the different sins. And to me, I think greed is probably one of the worst. Not worst as in sin. Sin is all bad. But it's like greed will cause you to do so many things. Because greed comes from fear. I'm afraid, and so therefore I'm greedy. So because I don't know that God's going to take care of me. You know, a child will only overeat because they're afraid they're not going to have a next meal. And so they're greedy. They're like, I'm going to eat now because I'm going to, you know, that's a normal human thing. We want to survive. But if you know that you're provided for, you won't overeat or you won't, you know, whatever. So anyway, I was thinking, because all the bad guys in the world, it seems like they're always trying to get more and want to get more power, more money. It's like, why? What are you striving for? What's your end goal? It's like, are you not already blessed? Let's see.
They could have everything in Jesus.
Oh, I came up with a funny joke. It said, for all the women who are mad about being sons of God, remember, the men have to be the bride of Christ. for all the women who are mad about being sons of God, all the men have to become the bride of Christ. So, he is. Our inheritance is Jesus. We are all, everyone, predestined to marry him. But by foreknowledge, the Father knows who will and who will not choose him. Giving an example is the prodigal son, that he is given everything and he decides he wanted his inheritance and to do his own thing. Finally, realizing that he was foolish, he headed back to see his father, and his father welcomed him back with open arms, even though he didn't deserve it, because that's our idea. Our idea is we don't deserve it. That's not the father's idea. Our idea is, I don't deserve it. I messed up. Even if he had never come back, his destiny was still to be the son of the father. So, because that, I've started, that came from Ephesians, because I was reading in Ephesians, and, you know, the certain denominations talk about predestination. And that's a tough one, because, you know, I've always known that Jesus said, you know, I don't want the death of any sinner. And I've always known that to be true. And then it was interesting that I realized, I gave this analogy last week, and it's silly, but it's so poignant. Jesus bought a train ticket for everyone, and whether or not you take the train ticket, God said, I want you all to be in heaven. Here's the ticket. And then he gave us free will to take the ticket or not. Did you want to say something, or Regis?
Can I add on to the prodigal son? The interesting thing is that the one that lost everything didn't think he deserved it.
Right.
The one that had everything didn't want to come in and celebrate.
Right, exactly.
I deserved everything.
Right.
And he didn't realize he was already blessed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just you don't think much about that guy. You think, well, that guy was a jerk, but that's actually It's a great part of the story. Understand the son who, it's so funny. For the longest time, there's the story of the two sons: the one that said, "I won't do it," and then did, and the one that said, "I will do it," and then didn't. And so Mary would ask me to do things, and I'd say no, and then I'd go do it, and she'd go, "Why do you do that?" I'm like, "Well, because there's the story of the guy who said, "No, Father, I won't do that," and then I go and do it. I'm just... Anyway, she didn't find it as funny as I did. We're in Ephesians now. I started with Ephesians 1 last week, and we're in Ephesians 2. It's good. It's good to know who we are. It's good to see the sins of others, because when you see the sins of others, you realize they're your own sins. You know, we could easily be who all these bad people are if we didn't have Jesus in us. It would be so easy. It would be, if I didn't have God in me to stop me, it would actually even be fun. But I realize there's no joy in it, because joy only comes from Christ. There's only, you know, it's... I play this game, and periodically people will get on and they'll just be in the gaming world, it's called toxic, when you're just kind of a jerk. And we were playing, and I messed up something, and the teammate that was playing with me, he got angry, and he said, well, and you have to ask permission to quit the round or you get penalized. And so he said, I want to quit the round, and I knew he was being a jerk. And so me, instead of being a Christian and going, yeah, let's do that, knowing that he was angry, I made him wait out the whole round. I was relishing it. It was so much fun, because I knew he was just fuming because he wanted to quit. And I'm like, you know, if you just calm down and be an adult playing a game. Anyway, so it's good. You know, it's... I should have loved on that guy and quit, and he would never known if I had quit. He would just thought, oh, I got the best of this guy, and then that would have irked me, but because that's my flesh. But the Christian in me should have just been loved and go, you know, yeah, all right, do your own thing. I'm happy, you know. Just be happy with where God has put you. The saying, for such a time as this, keeps coming in. You know, you can't Don't wish to be born at any other time. Wish to be born now. We may go through the way things are looking, it looks like we're going to go through some garbage. I mean, it could get horrible. I mean, right now, if people across the pond, they don't have water or electricity, you know, and they're having a hard time with it. They have little kids, and, you know, and the Bible says, you know, in the end times, it's going to be hard if you have a little child. You know, it's like, golly, it could come here, and it could happen to us. You know, it's like, that's why you got to seek God and know what God's plan is. He has a solution for his people. He doesn't want us, you know, his desire for us is to always be blessed, even in tribulation, to be blessed. The Jews were always blessed in tribulation, especially when they sought God. It's funny, you know, I've told this story when we were in Italy. The Jews were put in a grotto, you know, a bad neighborhood, which if you look at the place, you're like, this is not bad. I'd love to live here. I mean, like the gutters were copper. I'm like, wow, this is really nice. But anyways, so they put all the Jews in this grotto where they had to live, and they were only allowed to have three jobs. They could be lawyers, bankers, or doctors. I mean, like, that's weird. You know, I'm punishing you. You can only be a lawyer, a banker, a doctor, the things that make the most money. It's like God blesses his people, even when they're in bondage. It's like, we don't have to worry about that. So I always think it'd be funny if you go to jail. People are like, well, if you go to jail, it'd be horrible. I'm like, no, you could just spend 100% of the time in the Word. You don't have to work. You don't have to just go witness to all the guys that were trying to beat you up. You know, it's like you got to make the best of whatever situation God has you in, because he's going to protect you. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. It's glorious. It tells us who you are, and it has so many levels, and we can see who you are more and more and more by reading it more and spending time with you. Thank you for these folks who are here today, and let the words that come out of my mouth be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And he worked in you who was once dead in trespasses and sins, in which you then walked according to the course of the world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit of now working in the sons of disobedience. So, who is that? It's talking about the devil. But remember, the devil is only one place. That's why he had to take the angels with him, because he couldn't have done it. He couldn't have pulled this off if he didn't have an army, because he couldn't have done it by himself. So, he worked in you who was once dead in trespass and sins, and in which you then walked according to the course of the world, according to the ruler of authority of the air, the spirit now working in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also conduct ourselves in times past in the lusts of our flesh, doing the things willed of the flesh and the understanding and the whereby nature of the children of wrath, even as the rest. So it's saying, hey, you were once one of those. So it's good to not forget that. That I was there at one time. I was one of those. When you see someone do evil, you go, man, that could have been me. Don't hate that guy. Pray for that guy, because that guy needs Jesus. And that's hard. That's hard for your flesh, because your flesh wants to hate him, wants to destroy him, wants to, you know, I get mad. The government takes all my money, and I'm like, these people are evil. But you know what? God always provides for me. As angry as I am, which serves no purpose for me to be angry, because God still provides for me. So I could be angry or not be angry. Might as well not be angry, because God is still going to provide for me. You know, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time worrying about junk that you have no control over. Spend the time with the things you do have control over, which is spending time with God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love, which He loved us, even we being dead in sin, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are being saved. So, that's awesome. We were dead. Remember, Adam and Eve sinned. And from then on, every person that's born is going to die from sin. You know, we have sin in our life. And Christ came. I mean, you guys know all this. This is the gospel message. Christ came and His blood covered it. And that's the thing I was talking about last week, about the things that will slow us down. And sin is one of them, because we go, oh, I sinned. And then you don't spend time with God because you're like, I can't be with God right now because I'm not in a good place. And I was saying, that's ridiculous. It's, first of all, it's exactly when you need to be with God. Secondly, don't ever let where you're at take you from being with God, because God is, you can feel a million miles away from God and God is standing right beside you. You go, man, I haven't spent any time with Him. I haven't been in the Word. I haven't been doing what I should. And again, that's all from you. That's all from, you know, that's little voices in your head going, yeah, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. Who said you were worthy? First of all, like God said to Adam and Eve, who told you were naked? I didn't tell you were naked. Why are you saying this? So God is saying, I think that was actually something I wrote down, I don't know. We need to see who God sees us, how God sees us. We don't need to see us as we see ourselves, because we don't see ourselves correctly. We need to see what God sees about us. That is key. Because when you look at yourself, you don't think yourself as worthy or powerful or anything like that. When God sees you, He sees you, hey, I can do anything through you. Just be ready. You know, you're the Son of God. I mean, what can a prince do? A prince can do almost everything the king can do. A prince has so much power. And we are princes and princesses of God. So He gives us authority. You know, we have the authority to do things, and we don't see that. I don't fully realize that. I know it. I know it in my mind, and I know it. It's possible, but I don't fully realize that myself. That, man, I mean, it's in the Scripture. It says, greater things than these are you going to do in my name. What? Greater things than Jesus? No way. But He said we would. So let's do it. Let's set the world on fire. Let's turn it on its ear. These young people are seeking for something. You know, they're doing TikTok and whatever, you know, and they're trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. That's what they think. They think, hey, I need to make it in the world, so I need to, you know, sell my soul so that I can become popular, so that I can be something. I used to want to be a rock star so that people would listen to me. That's stupid. I mean, maybe God would use me that way, but obviously my life has not turned out that way, so that was not God's intention for me.
But you do write songs.
I do write songs. It's fun, but it's for God's glory, you know, not my own. If I can talk about God because people are glorying in me, then that's not it. God, I need to glory in God without people glorying in me. You know, I don't need to be so famous that somebody go, well, I need to listen to that man, you know. I mean, when the Pharisees saw Peter and the disciples and they said, who are these guys? These guys are nothing. They're fishermen. They're bumpkins. And they're speaking with a power and authority. How can they do that? We know who they are. We know exactly who they are. They're just guys that bring the fish in and they stink and they're dumb and whatever, you know. But that's, you know, they said the same thing about Jesus. How do you speak with such authority? It's like, that's us. That's in us. We have the power to speak with authority. And raised up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So remember, Jesus is in us, and we're seated next to God. That's where we are now. I don't remember, it was from the 80s. They'd say, we're king's kids. You guys remember that? King's kids. I'm a king's kid. I think there was a book. I think you see the book in my mind. It's like that little cherub-looking thing on the front and the little halo. They're king's kids. That's us. That was, it's a silly cover, but that's real. That's who we are. We don't feel like it. Do you guys feel like a king's kid? No, my joints hurt and I got to pay my electric bill every month. King's kid wouldn't have to do that. Golly. That's nothing. That's not even important. That's not even important. God already said, I'll provide for that. That's the devil. Go, man, you need to worry about this. No, God already said, if I'll feed the sparrows and clothe the flowers, why would I not do that for you? So stop worrying about that. Yes. Stop worrying about that. That he might show in the coming ages the exceeding great riches of his grace. Are we in the coming ages? We're in the coming ages. So he's showing us the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And we're thinking, riches, that's not how, riches in grace. That means like we need grace. We need grace because we mess up. We need that. So it's abundant. It doesn't matter. Remember, Jesus said, the disciples said, oh, how many times do you forgive? 70 times 7. I think I've way, I mean, Jesus was saying indefinitely, but I think I hope he meant 70 times 7 per day, because I've already done more than 70 times 7. So, but that's how much you forgive. It's like, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, so when someone hurts you, it was interesting to me. It took me a while as a young man to figure out what God meant when David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I'm like, no, you totally sinned against that guy. It's like, but who created that being? God created that person. You sinned against God. That's God's beloved. You sinned against God by hurting them. It's like if somebody hurts my wife, they sin against me. I'm coming after you. My wife is not coming after you. I'm coming after you. So that's God. David sinned against God. So not because my wife belongs to me, but because she's under my protection. God gave me that authority to be her covering. So, hallelujah. For by grace you are being saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So that's awesome. It's funny because you think, well, I did that work. I had faith. And it's like, no. Jesus said, here's a gift, and here's the faith to take the gift. It's like he did everything. We don't have to do anything. And that's so much fun. That's so much fun. It's like Dad would always say, well, that's cheap. It is. He does everything, and it doesn't seem right. You're like, it can't be that easy. How can it be that easy? I have to do something. I have to put some skin in the game. It's like, no. Jesus said, I created the way, and then I gave you the faith to receive it. And it's like, and that's there for everybody. I hate it when people say, well, that guy just didn't have enough faith. Like, really? What did Jesus say about faith? He said, if you have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could move an entire mountain. How big is a grain of a mustard seed, It's like the size of a pinhead. If you have that much faith, you could move a mountain. And that doesn't compute in your mind because you're like, there's a mountain. And if I have that much faith, I could tell that mountain, you go into the sea. So it's like... It is a gift of God, not of works, that anyone should boast. So it's good. So if you went so far as to say, well, I did it, God said, no. Nope. It's a gift of faith, not of works. You can't work into it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, for God before prepared that we should walk in them. Man, that's awesome. You know, God knew from the beginning of time that you were going to be born. He knew everything about you. That is, you know, I've said that, but people just, I don't even realize the significance of that. He knows everything about you. He's excited about everything about you. From the beginning of time. He couldn't wait. It's like 6,000 some odd years in. Dave's going to be born. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see, you know, I already know what he's going to do, but it's going to be fun to watch. You know, he's going to mess up. He's going to finally stop listening to himself and listen to me. You know, he says that about each and every one of you. Therefore, remember that you, the nations, were then in the flesh, those having been called uncircumcised or uncircumcision by those having been called circumcision, which is, you know, he's talking to the pagans. Hey, you guys were circumcised and you're not. What did God tell the Jewish people to do? Hey, go share my good news. And they're like, hey, we have this good news and we're keeping it. That's okay. We get in now because they were selfish. So, and in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, having no hope. Man, it's when the Israelites would come after those countries. Remember when they went into the promised land? Oh man, they were terrified because they saw what happened to Jericho. Then they got confused because of the AI, you know, because the guy sinned. Isn't that crazy? That one man's sin stopped them from taking over the second city. That would be scary. It's like, I always think, it's funny, when I've talked to Jeff and David the other night, and I was like, I can't figure out why our church isn't growing. I said, am I Jonah? Is it my fault? Is it my fault that our church isn't growing? It's like, God's like, just be patient. God told me, he said, just spend time with me. The people will come. You know, I love it. I love the people we have. You guys are such a blessing to me. It's awesome. I mean, it's a gift. You guys are all a gift to me. So I thank you guys for coming and hearing the word. Well, thank you. Anyway, I'm going to get back to the... we have no hope without God in the world. So it's like they were always creating idols to make a God. You know, it's funny. It's funny that a man not knowing God would know there needed to be a God. I mean, even the Indians, you know, here in America who hadn't heard about Jesus yet, they had gods. It's like because they knew. They knew from the beginning of time, you know, from the Tower of Babel, you know, everything got separated. There's supposed to be a God. People know. Even people who say there's no God knows there's a God. They're afraid of that. They're like, there's no God. And they do that because it makes them feel better about the decisions they make in their life. To me, it would be terrifying not to have a God. Like, there's no God. I'm like, well, if there's no God, then nothing is important. And you're not important. And whatever I do is not important. And whatever I do to you is not important. You trust me, you want a God. You want there to be a line. You know, this is God. And because, I mean, if there were no God, then I could do anything I wanted. And I wouldn't have to feel bad about it. The only thing I would have to feel bad about is if I got caught because you thought that was mean. That was mean what you did to me. Yeah, there's no God, so it doesn't matter. There's no whatever. So I'm glad there's a God, and I'm glad there's a... he set a set of rules up. Hey, don't do this stuff. So... but now in Christ, Jesus, you are then were afar off, came to near by the blood of Christ. So... Sorry, this Bible reads kind of weird sometimes. So we were We weren't part of the deal, and now we are. We're part of the new covenant. And I was thinking about Israel, because they're part of the old covenant, and they still live in the old covenant. I mean, there are many Jews who are messianic, and they are part of the new covenant, but there's still a lot of Jews. Their eyes are blinded, and they're still part of the old covenant. They still live under the law. And man, it's, I don't know if you ever met them, but they're miserable people. They have to keep all these dumb laws. So, because it's like, I remember when I was in school, I went to a Baptist school, and man, they just have laws. And man, if you break them, you know, you're going down, you know, detention. I had so much detention. I went to detention all the time. It was kind of fun after a while. You're like, hey, you're in detention again too. Good. It was always for dumb stuff. I had a teacher one time that said, David, why are you always talking in class? I said, we're all talking in class. I'm just the loudest. So it's like, it's good. I mean, it's good for kids to have laws. They need to know that there are laws. You can't break them. But, you know, we know as adults, when you learn who God is, that Jesus fulfilled all the laws. He kept all the commandments. I learned the other day, and I don't know if this is true. I wanted to research it. A guy said that it's not actually the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Sayings. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. So I'll have to research that to see whether that's true or not. I mean, Dad would always say it was the Ten Promises, which I like that the most. It is. You will not, you know, you'll have no other gods before you. You will honor your father and mother. You know, you will not covet. Those are the Ten Promises. God said, now that I'm in you, and I've already, I mean, that's true, because God, Jesus kept them. So they're the Ten Promises, you know. So it's interesting. For he is our peace, he making us both one and breaking down the middle wall of the partition. So that's the outer court. Was it and the holy place broke down that wall? Because remember, Gentiles could go in the outer court, but they couldn't come into the holy place because they weren't part of the covenant. But he took down that wall. Took down that old covenant and said, hey, there's a new covenant and you guys are all welcome. You know, I have a wedding and I invited all these people and they don't want to be part of it. You guys want to be part of it? Heck yeah. I'm there. Is the food free? Yeah. Is there going to be, you know, it's good. I'm in. So, annulling in his flesh the eternity, the law of the commandments in decrees, that he might in himself create the two into one new man, making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, slaying the enmity in himself. So, remember, we were at enmity because of our sin, and he slayed that. It's gone. And so we couldn't come before God. You know, when Moses saw God, God said, I'm too much. You can't see me, but I'll let you see the back. And then he glowed because it was so powerful. Just the backside of God was so powerful that, you know, Moses glowed for, you know, a month until he didn't. And then he hid himself because he didn't want to let the people know, I've lost the power. It wasn't him. It was the power of God, you know, shining about him. That's crazy. The God was had so much power went into Moses that he shined for a month. You know, that's nuts. I love that Bible puts stuff in there like that, and you see it, and then you can go, wow, that's incredible. We don't understand who God is. We don't even have a clue. We can understand his heart because of the Bible, but we don't. It's like, it's going to be fun. Because, you know, as a young man, I think heaven's going to be boring. You know, after 100 years, you're going to know everything. Whatever. It's not. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. All the things you wanted to do here on earth, it's going to be, you know, we'll all learn to play instruments. And I have no idea what we're going to do in heaven. I hope we don't just know it immediately. I think, you know, take some time to learn. I'm a genius. Get to heaven and all of a sudden you know everything. That wouldn't be fun. and coming, he preached peace to you. And you remember, because they thought he was going to come and preach war. Ha ha, we're taking over the bad guys. He's like, I'm not here for your flesh. I'm here for your spirit. You know, they thought he's going to come and he's going to... It's so funny that that's their idea. It's like... That's so small. Yeah, we're going to be free and we're going to, you know, be mighty on this earth. And it's like, wow, that's as far as you guys think is just this earth. You're going to... It's like, no, he's talking about eternity. He's here for your spirit, not your flesh. And coming, he preached peace to you. And the ones afar off and to the ones near. And through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father.
Praise the Lord.
That's awesome. You guys hear the Holy Spirit? Does he talk to you every day? He is talking. I've said that in the past. He's talking to you every day, whether or not you're listening. So. And so then, you are no longer strangers and tenants, but you are fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God. I love that. We're grafted in. It's always interesting because, you know, we were brought up that, you know, this is what's important, the nuclear family with the father and the mother and the kids, and they all came. But you know what? Jesus was always adopting people in. He was always doing things wrong. It wasn't the first kid that got the inheritance. It was the second kid, you know. It was like he always did things to mess up people's plans. And that's the way God is. We don't understand what God's going to do. And that's good. Because, you know, it's funny that the licentious person in us would be one way, and the hypocrite would be like, well, you set these rules and you got to do it. And it's like God's like, no, I'm God and I can do whatever I want. I can let into heaven whoever I want to let into heaven. And I want all of you guys. And you're like, yeah, but they're riffraff. You know, is there, I always, periodically I'll go through my mind and go, God, is there anybody that I look down on? And forgive me for that. That's a weird thing to do, but I mean, it's like, because there's people, you can look down on people who are more wealthy than you, or you can look down on people who are bums or whatever. You're like, well, what did that guy to do to mess his life up? You know, it's still a person. It's still precious to God. And just because you feel like that guy who's more wealthy than you is a jerk, God still loves that person. And that's not yours to judge. God said, I'm the judge. You're not the judge. Don't judge. Don't do it. It's like, okay, you're right. You love them. I love them. I love you because Jesus loves you. If it were left up to me, I would not love you. But since Jesus loves you, and I see you through Jesus' eyes, I love you. And that's, man, that's fun. That's fun to not have animosity towards anybody, even when they're doing wrong to you or to somebody else. You just love them. And that will destroy them. If you love them while they're being evil to you, they won't know what to do with that. And they'll want to know what you got. How are you able to do that? How are you able to love me even though I'm wicked to you? God supplied all my needs. He loves you. I love you. So then, you are no longer strangers. I like that. I'm going to read that again. You are no longer strangers and tenants, but you are fellow citizens. So tenant, what's a tenant? A tenant is someone who, you know, just lives in a place, but they don't have any standing. You know, a tenant stays in a house, but the house doesn't belong to them. You know, so now we're part of the kingdom. We're part of the thing. I think I wrote down last week what that was good. What the Mary didn't know this. I got this. She thought I went and looked this up on Wikipedia. I was like, Mary, that's terrible. I would never look up anything on Wikipedia. I got this out of the Strong's. Saint. The word saint is hagios, which means different or unlike or otherliness. It means the likeness or nature with the Lord, different from the world. Because, you know, when like a lot of churches, when they talk about saints, they're talking about people who are dead. But a saint is just somebody who's in Christ, has the likeness of Christ. So, and it's not us. Remember us. We go, well, that guy, He says he's a Christian, but man, he does not look like a Christian. That guy doesn't have the likeness of Christ. That's not yours to judge. You know, I think that about Nancy Pelosi. I think that woman says she's a Christian, but I don't believe that. But I don't know her heart. I have no idea what her heart is. People can do wicked things out of fear, still be saved, but do wicked things out of fear because they don't really truly understand who God is. So it's not mine to judge her heart. That's God's. I could take a wild guess, but that's still wrong of me. Because the Bible says people will know you by your fruit, and her fruit is rotten. But again, I don't know why. Maybe she does. Maybe she wrestles with that. I can't judge her. I can pray for her. I can pray that she finds Jesus. Let's see. Being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. So you remember that, because remember there were so many people that came before Jesus who said, there's a guy coming. He's going to do all these things so that you know it's true. There's 300 of them, and he's going to fulfill all 300. Even if he'd fulfilled two or three, that would have been amazing. But he fulfilled all 300 of the prophecies about him. I mean, that blows my mind that the Jewish people would go, well, he's not the Messiah. It's like, no, I fulfilled all 300 of your prophecies. Wow. How could you not see that that guy's the Messiah? I mean, they've got people in there now that this is the Messiah. He fulfills most of the prophecies. It's like, most of? It's like, no, it's got to be all. So it's like, And they're just the little ones. Like, he's in the right house, you know, the right lineage. It's like, meh. Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. You guys know the significance of a cornerstone, right? Do you guys know what a cornerstone is? Yeah, so when you build a building, you lay the foundation and there's a cornerstone. And if it's not perfect, the whole building is wrong. So that first stone has to be perfect. It has to be laid just right because everything in the entire building is measured off that stone. And if it's perfect, then everything after it is perfect. So that's what a cornerstone is. In whom all the building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So, Jesus is the cornerstone, and we're being built into this temple, and God indwells in us. Man.
His workmanship.
Yeah, we are his workmanship. That's one of my favorite scriptures is, that work I began in you, I will surely complete it. Amen. I love that one. So that means that doesn't give you, it's, when God shows you a sin, I know you guys know this. When God shows you a sin, it's not because you got to do anything about it. It's because he says, that's the one I'm working on next. That's him completing the good work. It's fun. It's fun when you find that sins fall away and you're like, oh, I don't do that one anymore. And I don't even miss it. Hallelujah. It's good. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Does that happen to you? Do things just fall away and you think, oh, wow, praise God. I thought that was going to hurt. And it doesn't. Because you see who God is in you. And it's, man, what a gift. It fills you up. That's good. And it's good. It says we're being built together into a dwelling place. So that's just not me. That's all of y'all, every one of you. We're all being built. That's what I find, the more and more I see the world, they talk about, like, I see lots of little videos on ADHD and dyslexia autism and stuff like that. I just think, that's God's creativity. If we were all the same, it'd be boring. But God creates us all unique with different ways we think and different ways we act and different, you know, like... I'm creative with my hands and other people are creative with their minds and, you know, other people are artistic and other people, you know, it's like we're all one tapestry. we're all different pieces. You know, it's like a giant puzzle. And when you put all the pieces together, it makes a beautiful picture. And we're all unique. But if all the pieces were the same, it wouldn't go together. You know, you couldn't fit it all together. So we're all different pieces with different shapes, and we fit together beautifully because God created us that way. We're all another good scripture is iron sharpens iron. That's it. You know, it's like we're designed to be with each other, you know, building each other up, sharing scripture with each other, telling, you know, what did God say to you this week? What word did you get? Do you guys get words all the time? Or once a month? Maybe once a week? Every day, you know? God, even through other people, they come all different weird ways. Even from secular, like a book that I read one time, I watched the movie and then I read the book, it was Dune. And it's a terrible book. I mean, it's fascinating, it's fun to read, but it's, you know, it's a guy created a false religion and everything. But one of the things he said in there is, fear is the mind killer. I'm like, man, that is a true statement. That guy is not a believer, but I mean, that is true. Fear will keep you from hearing God because you're so afraid. So God can even use the world to give you a word. So, you know, God will make the stones cry out if nobody's worshiping Him. God can make a donkey stop you in your tracks because you don't see what's in front of you. Never underestimate how God can talk to you. It's fun. You know, because we try to put God in a box. Well, I have to be reading the Word for 20 minutes, and then I have to say, you know, like the Catholics will say 27 Hail Marys. You know, it's like, no, it's like God can talk to you any way He wants, through anything He wants. So, hallelujah. Go share the love of Jesus with somebody today. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to, you know, just bless them somehow or whatever. It's good. It's good to just love on people, especially when they're not expecting it. What was it? I was working at the Fort Worth Church doing some remodeling there. The ladies' bathroom has been in bad shape for a long time. And I was done, and I walked out, and there was a dollar bill floating through the parking lot. Oh, that's nice. So I went and picked it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I went and got gas. And there was a guy there, homeless guy. I thought, I'm going to give him that dollar. And I walked up and I handed him, I said, would you like a dollar? And he didn't say anything to me. He just was so surprised that I would voluntarily walk up and hand him a dollar. And I was sad that it was only a dollar. I was like, man, I wish it was more, but it was only a dollar. But I was like, this just blew through the parking lot. Would you like it? He's like, his like face just like lit up. I'm like, hallelujah. I don't know why. Maybe God gave me that dollar so I could give it to that guy so that he could, whatever. Can't do much with a dollar anymore, but. But you don't know how you're going to bless somebody. So just be a vessel and let God use you to bless somebody. Or to be salt and light. So, not sledgehammers. I'll stop there before I get in trouble. My sister tells me not to talk about different denominations. She goes, I can't share your sermons if you talk about other denominations. Hallelujah. God is good. We're all one people. That's what I think is sad about denominations, is they separate for dumb reasons. And it's like, no, we're all supposed to be believers in Christ. Yeah. We don't need division because of dumb ideas. And it's never over anything significant. It's over dumb stuff. There's now a International Methodist Church. And that's actually a pretty significant thing because the United Methodist Church has allowed homosexuality in and all that kind of stuff. And so there's a big splinter group. So anyways, I'm probably going to cut that part off the end because it's pointless. Anyway, we are all one church. Somebody said the other night, I don't remember, maybe it was Jeff. I don't know who said it. But like when we are here worshiping, there are millions of other people worshiping at the same time. And we're all worshiping. So, I mean, we're just a small group, but we're all one church. So when we're worshiping and they're worshiping, the whole church is worshiping together. And that's awesome. So, and that glorifies God. And He can even distinguish between the different songs because we're singing a song and they're singing a song. And it's good. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And thank you for showing us that you're it. You're everything. Amen. And that we need nothing. And we'll be peace and joy and happiness. Bless everybody here today. Let their speech be edifying to one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to say this one last thing. I think it's funny how the world will take something. So Klaus Schwab will say, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. That's funny. But that's a Christian idea. It's like, hey, you don't need to own. I already own everything. You don't need to own anything. I've already got it all and it's yours. So you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about it. So he stole that from Jesus. He didn't even know. He didn't even know. The world has no idea that they... All right. You guys be blessed today.
Praise the Lord.